while you experience this podcast of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed in your ears, you could also experience premium living in Parramatta too. 8 Phillip Street is a world-class 55-story tower with 2 restaurants and a rooftop bar. Final apartments are now selling. Google 8 Phillip Street now.
Hey, we've got him back. He's back and he wasn't pooing his pants. He was just vomiting.
Yeah, well, it was rough going, but here we are. What a big show it was today.
Great show.
Hard chat, some of your hard chat, which ended up with you making a friend, which is new.
I know. Tom Gleeson and I have hated each other for a decade, and now I think we could call each other distant acquaintances.
I didn't see that coming, just quietly. I thought it might have driven you further apart.
No, because I cracked him a few times, and then when I walked out, he's like, "You are actually funny," and I'm like, "Thanks, mate. I wish I had said that on camera."
You know what's good about that is if no matter how many hurtful barbs he throws at you, when you break him, when he smiles and smirks, it completely then takes all the pain away and it undermines anything angry he said.
Yeah, the sun comes out.
It does.
It does. We spoke to an Triple O operator, which was amazing.
Very interesting.
He actually had someone die on the phone while he was talking to them. It's so hectic.
He's what a guy. He was a policeman, then he went and did that. It's pretty amazing story.
And Tiff tried to buy you undies and took on Stormtrooper.
Yeah, Stormtrooper had a fight with her. And Stephen Kamos, the wonderful comedian, came and joined us. He's always good fun, Stephen K, isn't he? He's a great guy.
I love him. Yeah.
He's spot on. And When Animals Attack was a big show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Right now, showtime. Are you ready? Are you ready for start time?
Let's find out. Ready,
set, go. Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed.
Top of the morning at 6:03. Back to our full complement. Hello, you two.
Welcome back, mate.
Hey, buddy.
Gee, you're looking svelte today.
Are you farting with confidence yet?
No, I believe there was some misinformation because it was throwing up that I had. And that was for the first time in a long time. I never throw up. And this was the first time since a bout of barley belly some years ago that it really, really got it going. But anyway.
How bad are we talking? Like vomiting the equivalent of a Grant Denyer?
Out the nose?
It did come out my nose. And I didn't know that.
Isn't that traumatic?
It was.
That's when I cry.
That's traumatic. Yeah, when it shoots out your nose, it's like, okay, you've got too far, vomit.
Yeah, it was really uncalled for. But hey, here we are.
And a guy like this who likes to be in control, vomiting when you are completely out of control, would not
like
be.
It.
You know, Joel, I know.
Let's focus on the positives. Nice abs today.
Yeah. Well, Tiff kept saying that. She's like, it's it helps you not eat too much bad food. And I'm like, there is no bad food in this house.
Is that Tiff XO Extreme? Is that what
that's what
Is that a course you can do?
Hey, guys, a big one today. Lots happening. When Animals Attack, animals have finally had enough. They're not waiting for AI to destroy us. They're going to do it for us.
Yeah.
And this is something you lot started without me. $100 petrol cash. Is this every time?
Every single caller that gets on.
Wow. $100 petrol cash. Where would that help you out, Grant?
Oh, just in everyday life. Let's just talk about it. Oh, the hip pocket.
Yeah.
You know what? Because it's not a sexy thing, petrol, but gee, how much of our money goes to just... pulling up at the servo and then just watching it blow out the exhaust. It feels like a waste. So today we're going to come to your rescue.
Yeah, just in the hip pocket, guys.
In the hip pocket.
Grant's
going to
appear
you.
Out of your hip
gonna
pocket.
Going to get you in the heart and the hip pocket.
Yeah. Did you ever do free fuel when you're on Sunrise?
No, like they do on the Today Show right now.
Yeah,
you don't do it. Bunch of desperados.
Yeah! Give it to them.
Hey, you know what? I've got my Markle hangover, guys. I watched Meghan Markle and Modern Princess last night on Channel 10. It was so good.
I fell asleep. Was it good?
You fell asleep. Her sorority sisters were on crying and talking about the dress. I was in heaven.
It
was a positive. It was Gail, Oprah's best mate. They went to the chapel. They spoke to all the suits people. Like, it was a positive.
Nice.
It was a fluff piece and I was here for it.
So none of her family then?
Nope, not one member of her family was there. A lot of teachers.
Yeah, a lot of teachers. Yeah. I haven't gone that far back.
A lot of teachers, a lot of sorority sisters. Kappa Delta New, yay!
Yay!
No one comes out from the dark past, to share any stories that we...
No, that's not
what this was.
Not one person from
Let's come, little engine starter to in a moment. Em, you're up for a big award. So have you ever won anything? Let's get this petrol party started. What have you won in your life? The smallest possible win here is going to win the first of our $100 petrol cash.
Yeah.
What's the smallest thing you've won? I once came second in the cross country at Double Bay Primary. So
That's good.
Pretty sure the other kid was juicing. So 13, 10, 60. You're up. What small thing have you won? Because Em, you're up for something very large.
Wow, it's a little thing. And everyone who gets on to speak gets free fuel because it's hurting in the hip pocket.
And it helps. That's right. The hip pocket.
So, Em, now tonight you are up for the 2018 Book Industry Awards, the ABIAs, as they're commonly known.
It's the Book Oscars.
Yeah, the Book Oscars.
It's the Book Oscars, I'll tell you right now. It's a big night.
It's a big
of
night.
Literary excellence. Yeah, I don't know what the hell I'm doing there, but anyway.
So shortlisted to the audio book of the year.
Yeah, not for writing. Talking.
Who are we up against?
Up against buddy Isla Fisher.
Well, hello.
I know. I'm up against Jimmy Barnes, who he's...
I'd imagine yours might be a little bit easier to listen to than Jimmy Barnes after, you know, 40 years of... vodka abuse and a thick Scottish accent. That might be like a hard listen.
No, it's kind of comforting when you hear it. I listen.
And there's the 91-story treehouse, which people will know, which are the excellent Andy Griffith and Terry Denton. People like that type of thing.
But they did not do the recording. They had a ring-in. See, I protest their nomination. They had someone else do it.
But some dude called Stig.
Yeah.
Stig Weymouth.
Yeah, he didn't do it.
Big shout out to Stig if you listen.
So, yeah, look, I don't usually win these things, but it's an honour to be nominated. But if I do happen to win, I'm just going to use my speech to ask Jimmy Barnes to do a duet with me.
Oh, yes!
That's it.
Good idea.
Just going to get up and go, thanks very much. It was really hard. And this is recording the audiobook was harder than writing the book.
Why?
Because I had to. It's lengthy, but I also had to read back through some chapters that were fairly horrific. And when you're reading back through those chapters, and then you've got to read through the chapters where you talk about your explosive period on the bus when you're 11. It's funny when you write it, but when you have to actually say the words,
it's kind of weird.
Coming out, yeah, it's kind of weird. It was a strange experience.
Well, that is a big one. That's tonight. So
yes.
best of luck.
Thank
but
you
it
so
does
much.
It does lend us to, well, that's a big thing to win. So let's go the other end.
Okay.
What is the smallest thing that people have won? Yes, I was second in the cross country at Double Bay Primary. Let's not go on about that. Here's Jason from Camden. Jace.
Hey, Jace.
Yeah, mate. You're a big winner. What did you get?
Oh, I won an Esky at my local pub.
Hey.
Yes, you did, Jason.
What did you do for that, Jace?
Every time you bought a bucket of Coronas, they gave you an entry form, and I had both the entry forms in there, so yeah.
Yeah, you put in the hard yards there, didn't you, to get that prize? Well done.
Hang on. Who's buying a bucket of Coronas regularly? This is how many's in a bucket, Jace?
Only four.
Okay, four. Small bucket.
Yeah, but he had 38 entries in.
Well,
done,
Jace.
Anyway.
Well, you've won twice because you got $100 petrol cash. Well played, my friend. Is Dean from Campbelltown. Dean, you're a big winner. Tell us, what was it?
Morning, guys. Welcome back, Ed.
Thanks, Dean.
I won a spelling bee in the second grade with the word lounge.
Oh, nice. Lounge.
And it's now one of those words that I always have to double-check to spell.
Can you use it in a sentence, Dean?
Oh, the lounge is where I sit at night.
Yeah, well played. Well, you got yourself.
That was like a haiku. It's beautiful.
$100 petrol cash for you. And the winning continues from Tanya from Rudy Hill. Tanya.
Hi.
Hi, you're a big winner.
What would you win?
Yes, I won a toothbrush holder from a That's Life magazine.
You won from That's Life? Oh, my God.
A toothbrush holder that, what, you stick to the wall and it holds it? Like you don't use a cup like everybody else uses in the home?
No, it was one of the grandma cup things where you just put the toothbrush in. I couldn't even give it away.
What did you do to win it in That's Life, Tanya?
You just have to fill in a whole bunch of puzzles. Every puzzle has a prize, and I lucked out with a toothbrush holder.
The big winner
sure
of the day. Well done, Tanya.
That is one of the most depressing. It's one of the most depressing stories I've heard for a while. You've won $100 petrol cash, Tanya.
Oh,
but
thank you. It
comes in a Corona bucket. So good luck with that. Just before I went away, the last thing I did before I realised I was sick is I was at the gym. Oh, actually, look. Oh, this is nice. I believe there's someone calling in and wants to welcome me back. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
G'day. It's Terry here from Terry Hills Macca's Driving. Just want to say welcome back, Ed. It takes a lot of guts to have a third nipple removed from your ghoulies and to be so public about it. You've given hope to the rest of us that have got just dead set nipples all over our jewel bag. Keep up the good work. Triple M.
Was Cherry in a quarry somewhere? Was he locked in a dungeon?
Does Terry get the $100 petrol cash? No.
Yes, no, he does.
Needs it for his dozer.
Needs it for his hip pocket, guys. Come on. Amazing. I love that. So you were at the gym before you started spewing.
With my wife, and we were both there. I'd left work and I was feeling a bit, when Tiff was there, I was there. We were sort of just, ignoring each other. And then
is that your idea of a romantic date?
No, it's my idea of hell, because she tries to make me do things. I've said this many times. I'll be standing there and I'll just feel a little blonde presence and I'll turn around and she'll go, "You can do 10 more of those." I go, "Go away."
Does she do that, like, when you're away from the gym? You know, when you're doing anything in everyday life, does Tiff do that to you? Come on.
Yeah, a little blonde presence. You can just see a little side pony in my peripheral. And she's going to eat that, are you? And so I was... Not now. So there we are. We're both in the gym, and I'm starting to. And she goes, "You're green. Go home." I'm like, "You're green." And then she said, "No, you're green. Go home." And I was starting to feel really weird in the guts. And so I went, "Okay, no problem." And so I walked into the change rooms to sort of get out of my gym stuff, and there was a nude man.
Mm. How old?
50s.
Yeah.
And nude as the day he was born, and he just finished a shower, and I was planning on going to the toilet, Grant, and then putting on my clothes and leaving. Mm-hmm. And I just turned around and walked straight back out.
Yeah.
And I was going to wait.
Too confronting for you?
Well, I was waiting, because I know him enough to say hello to him. So he would say hello. And I had already said hello to him when he was clothed, Em, so I waited, thought he'd be finished, walked back in there. This was like 5 minutes. Still nude. Oh. Still nude. And he was, and I walk in, I go, "God damn it." And I go, "Hey," and he goes, "Hey, dude, how you going, mate?" And I go, "Mate, yep, good, yep, no worries, thanks."
Looking at shoes, looking at the roof.
He turns around, and now he's doing full frontal, but with the towel just drying it off.
I love that.
Just sort of soaring away at
just
it.
Just flying pubes everywhere into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
That happens in my gym. I was also in the gym this week because I'm a gym guy now. And ladies were in there, and they usually have over 60, and they'll get the hair dryer out, the communal hair dryers, by the way.
Oh,
and
man.
They'll prop one leg up on the sink. And just full bush under, just blow drying the bush. Drying.
On the sink.
Grey pubes as long as the day is long. They're just everywhere, just picking them out of things, just all over the floor.
And do they say anything to you? Will they talk to you?
Yeah. They'll make direct eye contact with you. Sometimes they don't blink.
Because it's flapping everywhere.
Yeah, really? they love it. Oh, like they are a naked woman riding on a bike, I'll tell you. and it is just, but I think it's an age thing. I think the older you get, the less Fs you give.
Do you? Because I was once in a, this is the other thing that happened. I was once in a, there's a very popular gym in, I don't even want to say the suburb, but people know the one I'm talking about. It's a very popular gym in the east, or let's say around the King's Cross area.
Let's say the Fitness First King's Cross. Let's
say that.
Okay,
because this is a true story. I was a member there for some time, and I was in there once with a mate of mine, and he's a very handsome individual, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And we'd finished working out, and we were in there, and we were just doing we're just sort of getting changed afterwards, and someone gave me two rubs of the shoulders, a complete stranger,
what?
In a towel, rubbed me on the shoulders from the side/back.
And I was in the sauna.
You're in a Japanese bathhouse, weren't you?
I swear I wasn't. And I'll never forget what he said to me. He goes, "You must have been a swimmer."
With shoulders like that.
You're like, "No, I'm a cross-country runner. I got second."
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed. Weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1. Today FM.
Guys, it's time to get scared. Very scared.
Yes, if you are in and around Southern Lake Macquarie, be very scared, because there is a predator out there who's hopped up, addicted.
Oh, no.
To carrots. Kangaroos have become so completely addicted to carrots that they've taken to scratching and attacking any tourist they see holding this sweet, sweet orange goodness. So people will get out of cars and the kangaroos will be like, we'll see the carrot, and they'll just get a bit of a twitch in their eye.
And some scratching at its skin.
Yeah, and they will bound over there. Yeah, they've got prepaid mobile phones and grey trucks and pants on. And they jump over there and they attack, and there's been one attack a day.
What?
It's getting so bad.
Wow.
Yeah, here is.
Why carrots? I don't understand.
Because they're high in sugar, and the sugar doesn't metabolize in kangaroos the way it does in us. So what happens is they get all hopped up like a toddler on red cordial, and they just want more, man. They just want more.
Did not know carrots were high in sugar.
This is Greg Piper, who's a local MP there, just warning people.
The Bucks in particular can become very aggressive, and when you look at their build, you can see that they are well equipped for fighting and to cause injury if they wish. They can grab, and most concerningly, they can deliver a powerful kick.
Yeah, I remember I was at Taronga Zoo the other day, and a kangaroo offered me an old DVD player for a
carrot. Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, this
what is going on?
This is a bit much.
Yeah. Same. On,
you can tell. You can tell it's getting out of control. They're all wearing bum bags now.
Yes, come on, good. Come what on, other kangaroos. Stereotypes can we bring up? So look, I'm just. There's a public service announcement. When animals attack, and 131060, has an animal attacked you? When animal, what has it done? Where's it gone for? What kind of animal was it?
Gosh.
The more pathetic, the better. Obviously, we have free fuel to give to everyone.
Yes, we do.
But you.
I don't know whether you've seen this footage from overnight.
But 131060, Grant Daniels calling through.
Hello. First time caller, long time listener. This is full on. This is in South Africa. A safari park owner was mauled by one of his own lions. Now, I watched the footage and I go, what is a 105-year-old man doing walking into a lion enclosure?
He looked fairly elderly.
Didn't he?
Bloke.
And I'd imagine if you can't run the 100 metres in less than 15 seconds, don't get into a lion enclosure.
Yeah, because his attempt to get away, I did see this footage, was to just run away, and the lion got him real quick.
Get out of the enclosure, and it just grabs him by the head and shoulders and pulls him to the ground and then just drags him into the bushes. Have a listen.
Distressing footage shows Mike Hodge being dragged and savaged by the male lion just seconds after entering the enclosure. The 67-year-old suffered wounds to his neck and jaw.
67?
His head is in the lion's mouth as it drags him.
I feel like you're right. He's a bit old to be working with a predator that he needs to be able to run away from. That is the test.
And it wasn't the most jaunty run you've ever seen. It was a sort of a meander back to the edge of the cage.
Because he wouldn't have thought, because he trusts him, because he's worked with him for so long.
That's right.
And I hear, Ed, have you got a zombie fish story?
I'm going to come back and talk about how you can never be quite sure that the fish that you're about to eat is actually dead.
Yes.
So 131060, which animal has attacked you? We've already got a full board of calls, but keep them coming through. Oh, yeah, the cow, that'll be good. 131060, which animals have attacked you? 131060, when animals attack, because you two have both brought us stories of vicious animals, lions attacking safari owners in South Africa, and Em, you've brought our attention to the carrot-addicted kangaroos attacking people. They're attacking tourists.
In Lake Macquarie, they're attacking anyone that has anything orange in their hand. They're going straight for jugular because they are addicted to the sugar in carrots.
So weird. Mm. Hey, man, you got a carrot? You got a carrot? Just one hit. Just one carrot. Come on, come on.
131060, what has attacked you? Shaziah, good morning. What attacked you?
How are you guys?
Morning.
It was a koala. I'm new to Australia. I've been here about 6 months.
Oh, dear.
And my friends took me to a wildlife park, and they said to me, you can see these beautiful little friendly koalas. And it went to attack my face and scratched me.
Oh, no.
Do you wear eucalyptus, like, by Kim Kardashian or something? Because that is the only thing they want.
No, I wasn't wearing any eucalyptus perfume.
Well, I hope that you went and had an STI check afterwards, Shaziah. Because they
riddled with chlamydia.
Thank you, Grant. Yes, they have a layer of chlamydia issues, those guys. So I hope you had a little...
Yes, I might want to do that.
You're unlucky as well, because they sleep for 23 hours a day. So in the only hour it was awake, it savagely ripped your face off.
Exactly. It probably knew I was Canadian.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Everyone loves you guys. Your president's hot. Your premier's hot. Whatever he is, it's all good, mate. You guys are living your best lives.
Well played. Thank you for joining in on the Australian adventure, Shaziah. $100 petrol cash for you. Here's Vanessa from Oran Park. What bitcher?
A horse.
Struth.
Now, what had you done to anger the horse so?
Well, it was just like a backyard wedding in Western Sydney, and there was horses in the next paddock over. People were, like, you know, going for a pad and a photo. So after having some entree went over to give it a pad, and it decided to take a chomp on my finger.
Oh, and did it bleed? Did it break the skin, Vanessa?
No, it bit right on my nail, so, like, it kind of, like, it was bleeding underneath, but it was really, really painful.
Oh. Yeah, you don't want to get bitten by a horse. Grant, you have a pretend farm. Have any of your stuffed animals attacked you?
I have legit 5 cows, so back off. No, they don't. Oh, you know, they've got big horns. So what they tend to do is they don't savagely go for you. They don't gore you. But what they do do is they flick their head when there's flies. So if you're standing in front of it when a fly comes, you'll cop a horn right through the chest.
Oh, That's not very tough. Not very tough, though. I mean, what happened to you? Well, a lion got me. What happened to you? There was a fly and my cow in the fringe.
Megan in Greenacre, hello.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good. When animals attack, what happened?
I'm at the Easter show. I'm walking, talking away on my mobile phone, oblivious to everything around me. And next thing I know, a cow has sidled up next to me, shot from the hip, and knocked me to the ground.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I turn around to find my mother and my sister hysterically laughing. Like, my mother to this day says it's the funniest thing she's ever seen.
How dare they? That is terrifying. There's nothing more scary than when a cow comes at you at slow pace.
Yeah. And gently. Can I just say, Em, I just finished reading your book.
Yes.
Good luck tonight.
Thank you. Thanks, Dahl. Thanks.
Trying to get yourself extra petrol cash,
you
Megan.
Get
I appreciate
petrol,
that. $100 petrol cash for you, Megan. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
And the thing you're alluding to, just quickly, a steamed fish came back to life at a Chinese restaurant. A group of diners were having a cooked fish landed on their plate. They all went to start getting at it with their forks, and it jumped up off the plate and started attacking people.
Yes! Revenge!
Today FM's $100,000.
Beat the bomb.
Beat the bomb.
Oh, at 4 minutes past seven, it is time. Another share of the $100,000. Beat the bomb. It is Today FM Breakfast. M. Grant and Ed. Experience premium living in Parramatta, a world-class 55-story tower with two restaurants and a rooftop bar. Final apartments now selling. Google 8 Phillip Street. Now, let's get straight on to Beat the Bomb. Who have you got for me today, you two?
Paul from Helston Park, hello.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
We are ready for you to. What do you want to win? What do you want to get?
Oh, I'd love any amount that's going to fix this car of mine.
What's gone wrong?
The whole engine just blew up and seized up.
What are you driving around in? What do you got?
Oh, now I've got a Toyota Corolla I'm going to drive.
Corolla. Good I love car. It. All right. Well, let's Ed,
yep, here
do
we
the
go.
Bit.
The cash bomb has been loaded and all you need to do is yell out stop before the bomb goes off. Do that and you'll take home the last cash amount reveal. But if the bomb beats you to it, then you walk away empty-handed. Did that all make sense? Paul, are you ready to light the fuse?
Sure does, Ed. Let's light it.
All right. Okay. Let's light the fuse.
$2,000.
Stop.
Yeah, look at you. Whoa. Stop. That's $2,000 straight away.
Wow.
$2,000. Little River.
Good man. Yeah,
Little River. Thank you, guys. That's good. Oh, look, I'm not catching the train anymore.
That's great.
Great.
That's great, honey. We have to hear how high you'd go, Paul. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
$2,100. $3,000. $3,500.
You did pretty well, Paul. You got to be happy with that.
Good on you, guys. That's fantastic.
Paulie, I love you. I love your work. You fix the Corolla, it'll be good as new.
let's do it. Let's go even a hot bit better car than that one.
Wow.
Good on you, guys.
Time for an upgrade. Well played, Paul. Another chance at Today FM's $100,000 Beat the Bomb. Keep it on 104.1 for your chance to win the cash. Just after we finish with MC is your niche chance to win some of that Josh.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M. Grant and Ed at todayfm.com.au.
Grant's putting one of his new shoes back on. Now, you can see these shoes on all of our socials because the discussion is...
Yeah, I walked into work this morning and I clocked him. And by the way, Grant has a new pair of sneakers on every day. I don't understand where he's storing them. You must be up to more pairs than me now.
It's a newfound love
of
the shoe.
How many pairs of sneakers do you have now?
I have at least, I reckon, maybe 40.
Yeah, of just high top runners.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
say mostly. Where it's come from, Grant, because when you're a kid.
Yeah, we couldn't afford any. I only ever had secondhand
and what size were
Nike Jordans.
Yeah, and what size were they?
They were 11s.
What size are you?
7.
Yeah.
Oh. But I wanted them so bad.
I know.
It made me hopeless on the basketball court.
Yeah, that's what your problem was on the basketball court. Definitely. That's the only thing same between you and the NBA was your bloody shoes. I mean, the Chicago Bulls of the 90s really lucked out, didn't they?
Only if I had side 7s.
That's correct.
A very different story.
Dangerous.
For GD. Be no family feud.
No.
Championship ring galore.
100%. But I did clock you and I said, why are you wearing platform runners, Nutmeg Spice? And he's like, I'm like, are you joining the Spice Girls? What's going on? He goes, what do you mean? These are my new runners. Do you like them? I said, yeah, they'd look good on me because you are wearing a pair of their green, army green leather Nike high tops.
Yeah, cool high tops.
With a good 4-5 inch heel. They're a flat out creeper. They're a platform runner.
No way.
You've bought women's runners, doll.
Just because it's got a white band at the bottom doesn't mean
that is
that's
a massive platform.
Filling.
Okay, compare it to my shoe, which is also a female runner.
Yeah, it's, you're right. It's
it
about
is
five times thicker than
five
yours.
Five times thicker than mine.
Now,
yeah.
When you bought them, Grant, did you go fire a sales assistant or did you just take the box off the rack and then just go, I'll take these, thank you?
You know the mistake that I've made, and I've made this before, and I think I've done it again. Not that I want to admit this, but every time I find a pair of runners I really, really like, it accidentally ends up being in the women's section.
That's right? Fine.
So I go, oh, they're different. They're unique.
They've
got a nice little twist.
I'm okay with that.
And then once you're sort of emotionally committed to that shoe.
And they're your size too. The sample size is always a 7.
That's
so
right.
You can just pop a little ladies runner on without even having to bother a sales assistant.
By that stage,
when, answer questions about
when you want the box, they realise I'm quite into the sneaker and they don't have the heart to tell me that it's a women's sneaker.
Women's sneaker. Yeah, because you're like, oh, God, I'm loving this. This is making me look amazing.
Mm. When you were a kid, Grant, did you wear like apple pies and jelly? Jelly bean sandals.
Were apple pies only girls?
Yeah, there weren't male apple pies. I might be mistaken. I don't believe there was a pair of male apple pie sneakers.
I think so, because remember the white Reebok double Velcro strap aerobics Oz-style high tops?
Now, that's when I bought women's shoes, because I came to school in the double top strap.
The double top strap.
Yes,
Reebok.
And I wore them to school, and I thought I was cool, and everyone laughed at me because my mate had the single strap, which were the male ones, and I'd come to school in women's shoes.
Oh, I didn't know the double strap meant female.
Yes, double strap meant women's.
Because my dad was too tight, so we went down to the market and got me apple pies instead.
Oh.
And then my mate Michael, who is now gay, maybe 3 of my boy mates wore apple pies with me, actually.
Yeah. That's why you thought that one question.
That's why I was so surprised.
We're asking you on 131060, were the French president Macron, were his comments to Lucy Turnbull creepy? Let's hear what he had to say.
But I wanted to thank you for your welcome. Thank you and your delicious wife for your warm welcome. Ooh. It's the perfect organization
Pull
of this trip
down.
Thanks to you and Lucy. Thank you very much.
He's called Lucy Turnbull. Delicious.
She is. Good morning, Lucy. You know I love you and stalk you on multiple platforms. She's like Claire Underwood. But less murdery.
Oh, dear.
Yeah,
oh, dear.
Less murdery.
More like Lady Macbeth.
It feels like a dinner party that's just got a little, you know, they're about sort
delightful.
Of 4 wines in and it's getting a little flirty around the table.
It's delightful. He is delightful. He's such a lovely man. He's in love with his English teacher and he didn't care about the age gap. He's a good president.
Hang on. Let's back that up. I don't know if your knowledge of French politics extends
it's
beyond the fact
better.
That he's handsome. Name the last French president.
Jacques Chirac.
No.
Damn it.
close. That man is dead. So.
Who was the one in between?
There's been a number, but
you
Sarkozy.
Name the last. Who was it?
Sarkozy, who's currently on corruption charges. Let's move on. So.
But he, this guy's not on corruption charges yet.
Not yet.
Would it be different if, let me put this to you.
It's hot. It's hot.
What if?
I want him to call me delicious so bad.
He might. He might.
Really? Could we be expecting a call from him?
Yeah, he may be on the line in a moment. Yes.
Yeah, what?
So throw some names at you.
What if Trump said it?
Oh, that's disgusting. He should be impeached for that. He should never comment on women's appearance ever. That is not okay. I told you that.
So he gets away with it just because of an accent? Just because of a nice, saucy accent?
What if Steven Seagal said it to you?
Wait, circa which year?
No, Under Siege. When he was in Under Siege.
Hot.
Yeah, not when his face had melted and
no,
he was standing
disgusting.
Behind a pot plant.
That's not good. Get out, how dare you?
What about if Koshy called you delicious?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or a Husey. What about Husey?
Oh, I'll take that. I love Husey. Thanks, Husey. Okay. I am delicious. I am delicious. Now, and herein lies the double standard, and every woman listening knows. And I'll flat out tell you right now, this is the truth. If the person saying the things to you, oh, I want to lick your face, I want to know where you live, I want your phone number. If they're attractive and you are attracted to them, totally fine. But if they are Donald Trump, Koshy, or anyone in that realm, oh, my God, get out of my face, you disgusting animal. I'm calling the police and taking a restraining order out. It's a double standard, and I'll accept it. I'm not proud of it, but it is what it is.
Hey, I appreciate the honesty. But Patricia's here from North Richmond. Patricia, the French president, is he creepy?
Peppy's definitely creepy.
Oh, yeah, he's with Peppy.
Look, he only said it because he's cute and he's French and he thought, oh, well, I probably get away with it.
Of course he did. And he did, Patricia.
$100 petrol.
I think he knew exactly what he meant.
Of course.
Yeah, you think he knew it? $100 petrol cash for you, Patricia. Here's Talise from Campbell. Hey, good stuff from you. Talise from Campbelltown. Talise, do you think the creepy French president meant it?
It's not
I think he meant it, but I think it was a compliment. Like, I'd love to be called delicious. And Lucy Turnbull is delicious. Let's get there. She's delicious.
She is delicious. I love Lucy Turnbull. She's a powerhouse.
I'm a Frenchman.
Yeah.
I think being called delicious is not bad.
I agree.
Exactly. You can be a delicious human being. It doesn't necessarily mean your looks.
You say delicious all the time.
I do.
I just realised. I was thinking someone in my life says delicious to describe people. It's you.
Yeah, it is me. That's why I was being so quiet. I was waiting to see where this chat went.
Oh, my God. Oh, you're not going to believe this. The French president himself has called...
You're kidding.
Oh, my God. See, this is what happens. You say nice things about people and it works and they hear you driving to the airport.
Oh, hello.
Is that Emmanuel Macron?
Morning. This is Emmanuel Macron. I'm sitting here covered in the butter from this kind of croissant and nothing else. I want to say to you, M. Rochelle, you are a delicious woman.
Thank you.
Delicious.
Thank you, Macron. Oh, my God. That's so great.
I want to cover you in Manu's sweat and lick it off you from head to toe. Is that okay?
I was going to say, Macron, you do sound like Manu a little bit, not to generalize.
Maybe we are same person. Nobody see us in the same room, huh?
And
just a moment, I want to talk to the other one there. Oh, little Mr. Daniel.
Hello, President.
Oh, shut up. You are the most delicious person I've ever seen. You would feed on one of those tiny little pieces of French toast. What I would do with you is I would strip you completely nude and I would cover you in snail's guts and I would rub you all over my body. Does that turn you on, sir?
It freaks me out a little bit.
Shut up. I would put you in my pocket. And all day you would just rub up and down against my French saber. And I would just know that you are there.
Okay. Thank you, French President Emmanuel Macron. Okay. Bait him out.
The next in our Ask Me Anything series, guys, and today we're joined by Greg Shirley, Communications Team Leader for Ambulance New South Wales, supervising 000 call takers.
So, Greg, do you actually take the 000 calls?
I do. Not all the time. Most of the time I'm acting as a supervisor, but no, there's certainly times during the day where I take calls myself or sometimes take over calls.
Can I ask, I don't think I could do this job. How do you emotionally prepare yourself for hearing people, you know, in their time of need? You know what's coming.
Well, we do, certainly. Well, I say we do, we don't, because you really don't know what any particular call is going to be at any given time. Obviously, they're going to be calls for help. And it is something you do. You learn to become not so much detached, but you learn to stay calm, stay professional and do your job.
Because the myriad of situations in which people are calling in must be crazy for you to have to be prepared for. Like, from what to what? What's the range of calls?
Oh, look, we get everything from a hoax call to everything from something very minor to obviously, you know, life-threatening situations where we're initiating life-saving advice over the phone. But the range varies so much. I mean, I've seen everything from, you know, a collapse to a collision to an elephant attack at Sydney Zoo, to a shark attack in Sydney Harbour.
Whoa.
Well, we have to focus on the elephant attack now.
Yeah, obviously.
So Take us through that situation. Call comes in. You must have thought that was a hoax.
I didn't take the call. I was supervising that day, and I must admit, yes, we thought, what is going on here? But he was from the zoo, and so, yeah, you have to, you know, we can't judge the integrity of the caller all the time. It's important that we have to accept everything on face value. And as it turned out, yeah, it was a handler had been injured by the animal there.
Oh, by memory, was that a fatality, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. No.
Okay, gotcha.
Greg, are there any calls that you have got emotionally involved in that you'll never forget?
Oh, look, without doubt, there's numerous of them, I suppose, over the years.
And are there any that stick with you now?
Certainly, and probably came pretty late in time, in that it was last year.
Yeah.
And I'm a grandfather now, and it was a grandparent on the phone with a toddler in their care who had choked on a cashew. It was pretty horrendous. I mean, I've seen and heard some things in my time, you know, with my experience in life, but no, this one particularly hit home.
And you had to talk through the grandparent what to do and
correct, and give you know what we tried to give life saving instructions.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And when people call in, what someone calls in with that type of situation, how are you trained to deal with that? What do you say to people?
We have a fairly scripted start to any call, and we use some pretty good software. And so, obviously, we have to get a location, and then we find out, we triage the call, and we give either some basic first aid advice, or obviously, sometimes can be much more, you know, life-saving ideas.
Mm.
What about when people are calling in the event of an emergency? Often they're going crazy, like they're in absolute hysterics. How do you try and make sense of them or calm them down in that situation to help?
Well, we have to stay calm to start with. We do have a number of techniques, I suppose. We do have to take control of the call. So sometimes it is necessary to use different techniques. Probably what the most important one we use is what we call repetitive persistence. So with a calm, level voice, we ask the same question multiple times. And we have to give reassurance, you know, you are helping, you are doing the right thing, we can do this together, along those lines.
That's a technique my husband uses with me.
Does it work?
It does.
Hey, so talking to Greg Shirley, communications team leader supervising 000 callers. I read an article the other day, Greg, about the multicultural nature of Sydney, which we all know, and how many different languages are spoken in and around the city. How many different languages do you have on the floor at any given time at the 000?
We don't actually have anyone in particular to do that. We have access to the government interpreter service over the phone, which we use fairly regularly. Although we do have a few people in the room that have certainly used their background skills on occasions.
Yeah. Because I would imagine you would get calls from people frantically, and not their command of English isn't perfect either.
Mm. Correct. Very true.
Jeez. Greg, have you had someone call in the middle of a crime happening to them?
Yes.
And so can you talk us through that situation?
They're usually domestic type assaults with that type of thing, and some can be quite serious. We've people hiding in houses, hiding in yards. I took over a call from a call taker some years ago. Mm. There'd been quite a serious assault in a remote location. Mm-hmm. And this person was literally running for their lives while they were on the phone to us.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, that would be so horrible.
So when you're involved with that person in that situation, have you ever bookended it? Have you ever sort of spoken to them afterwards, you know, after they've got through the trauma or they've survived? Or do you ever get to sort of see the other end of the story?
Look, generally, no. Occasionally, with the feel-good stories we do, call takers in there who've assisted with the birth of a baby, is fairly common for them to get together.
Is that very common, Greg? The birth of the baby birth.
I mean, labour.
Oh, a lot more common than you would think. Yes, it would happen every few days in the centre. Yeah, somewhere in New South Wales, we'd deliver a baby over the phone.
Greg, have you ever had someone pass away while you're on the phone to them?
Yes. Yeah. We're often giving CPR instructions to a bystander, whether it be a member of the public or a family member.
Mm.
But I have been talking to someone on the phone, and
they're not there anymore.
You can hear them getting worse, or the phone suddenly goes dead.
I was out with my family sort of in the lower North Shore about a month ago, when I had to call 000 because a motorcycle turned, did a legal turn into a service station, Greg, but a car either didn't see them or was on their phone or something, and I saw the whole thing and watched the whole thing. They absolutely smashed into this motorcycle, driver flipped up in the air and came to rest on the bonnet of the car. And I called 000, and very calmly the operator said, started asking details about location and where we were and stuff like that. But I could see that there were two other people that were already on the phone to 000 as I got closer to the spot. You must get that a lot where people are all calling in for the same incident.
We do. We do get multiple calls, particularly these days with mobile phones, and accidents are a good example of that.
Mm.
And they certainly, the 000 person I spoke to, and then I was sort of talking to the girl who was actually tending to the cyclist who ended up still on the bonnet of the car as it came to a stop.
Mm.
And that their instructions were absolutely fantastic. I have no doubt that that 000 operator, if not saved that guy's life, definitely helped keep him alive and conscious until the ambulance got there.
Mm.
Do you go home with a sense of having made a real difference to your day, with your day?
Mm.
Oh, certainly, and particularly some calls give you that feeling more than others. I don't think anyone there will ever think that it's just a routine job, because you never know what's going to come next, and most of the time you're helping someone in need. It makes anyone feel good.
Greg, I know a big problem, and I know it's a really disturbing percentage of calls that you guys get. I think off the top of my head, something like 70-odd% are hoax calls.
Whoa.
It's not that high.
How high? I know it was, can we look that up? I know it was high, but I just want to get across, first of all, I want to ask you, what are some of the stupid things people have called up 000 for, but you've just gone, mate, come on, you are wasting this very important service. Like, what are the most ridiculous things you've had?
Oh, we get things like they can't reach the remote control of their television.
That's true. That always seems like a joke.
We do, absolutely.
What else?
Are they doing it to be funny or just to annoy you, or why?
Some are hoax calls where they use that as an excuse to call.
Yeah.
And some people do consider it an emergency and they can't get their remote control, so they call.
So what
for
else
help.
Have you had besides remote control?
Oh, they're hungry, they need pizzas, they need food. Things like that.
What do you want to say to people who waste 000? Like, let them know about what do you want to say to people who are listening now, think it's funny doing up 000?
Well, it's certainly not funny. And the issue is, of course, is that while they're on the phone or while we're sending an ambulance to them, they are preventing someone who is in real need of our help or an emergency help from getting that in a timely manner.
Mm. Simple as that. Do you ever get elderly people who are just flat out lonely?
We do, and obviously we're a little bit more, I suppose, tolerant with elderly people. You want to help them, and sometimes they're just at a loss. They may not really need an emergency ambulance, but ambulance service doesn't just provide emergency help to people. We can provide pathways to other help for people like that.
Greg, you've been fantastic, and I think what you do is incredible. I know you were a policeman before this, so you're obviously someone who likes to help and serve the community. Thank you very much for being on the end of the phone when people are at their most vulnerable.
Thank you.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed by downloading the Today FM app.
Grant Daniel.
Just checking you for bruises, see how you're doing, any broken ribs.
just a broken ego.
Because last night you survived the most savage segment on television, Tom Gleason's Hard Chat, which is, it's a roast if you haven't seen it. It's like 5 minutes of just pure burn.
It's a 15-minute recording that they only show 3 minutes
of. Oh,
wow. You're there and they pick out the best bits.
It's a long time. And it's a badge of honour if you can survive it. I've done it. Here, this is how mine finished.
Now, I surveyed 100 people and I asked them, what should I say to finish this interview? What did they say?
Survey says,
go f*** yourself.
Gives you an idea of the tone.
That type of thing.
It was incredible. So yeah.
When he got into it, he went straight for the jugular.
He did, yes.
Have a listen.
You're known as a diva.
Am I?
Is that just a showbiz way of saying you're a pain in the ass?
Who called me a diva?
It's in your promotional material.
yeah, probably. But I like to think I'm a delightful pain in the ass. I'm a self-aware pain in the ass. Does that count?
Yeah, well, that helps.
Yeah.
So we're away.
Did you know what to do at the time?
Laugh it up, dickheads.
Like, what you had, but you and Gleason in real life, IRL, had not seen eye to eye for some years.
10 years. We don't like each other. I've always found him really condescending towards me. He refuses to call me a stand-up. He says I prance around on stage in a leotard. He says I'm not funny. I've always said you're just rude and and yeah. schmarmy. And kind of, so we've never gotten along. But the refreshing thing about Tom and I is we've never, and he's one guy, we've never pretended. It's so great.
Yeah.
You don't have to ever fake anything. So when I sat down, he genuinely was like, I don't like you. I said, you know what? I hate you.
So you knew you were walking into a showdown.
Yeah, but I also know, I also do, I actually secretly like Tom because Tom just, you know exactly where you stand with Gleeson.
Yeah.
Which I like.
He brought up your history, Australian Idol.
In Australian Idol, you came 9th.
Yes.
Is that the most popular you've ever been? A TV host described you as a hilarious nightmare.
Yes.
Is that unfair, describing you as hilarious?
No, I have moments.
So at this point, I was feeling pretty uncomfortable. How were you going?
He hit the one spot I'm very sensitive about the male middle-aged comedian fraternity saying I'm not funny. Mm. And I didn't take it well. I mean, I was fine, and then I went out and cried in my car.
And this is what I was worried about because...
No, it's on me. I knew exactly what I was walking into. I'm an idiot. Like, he should have done that because he knows that that's what I'm sensitive about. Yep. I need to get over myself.
Did you consider firing back? Yes. You did a bit. But did you, what was your rule going in?
Well, he had a breakfast radio show that was called like Two Girls and One Metrosexual Cup or something like that. Sexy
it's
Metro
true.
Something.
It's true. It was.
And he was going ass and I'm like, yeah, how long did your show, Sexy Metro, Two Girls, One Cup last?
Yeah.
And that did break him. Didn't make it though.
He wasn't qualified to talk about us.
Maybe the problem is you're on air with Grant, Daniel and Ed Cavalier. It's like a dinner party that no one would organise.
He was brutal about us. He was
But hang on,
friendly.
But they cut out the bit where you went him for his failed radio show, but they cut that out.
They cut it out.
Ah, there you go.
They cut out a lot of
things. Well, there you go.
Yeah,
he who controls the edit suite controls the game.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
They cut out a lot of things because he said to me, you're not a funny stand-up. And I said, have you actually ever seen me live? He's like, no. Do you know any of my material? No, that all got cut out too.
That's great.
Well,
he did know a little bit about you performing live. Have you got him talking about your tour, your recent tour?
You have an inflatable penis on stage during your act.
Correct.
Isn't one dick on stage enough? You've been on TV, on radio, you've written a book. Do you think you should get a podcast so you can be irritating on every platform available?
I have one. This is awkward. I have a podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you promote it on your radio show?
No.
If you did, that'd be diminishing returns.
Like, please tell me there's a happy ending to this.
There actually is. I have to say, when I finished it, Tom's like, I enjoyed that surprisingly. And I cracked him. I made him laugh a few times, which was a bit badge of honour for me. In the end, it was good. And we're hearing from our friends, Carrie and Tommy, that perhaps I'll have a listen.
Did she like you or did you like her more by the end of it than at the start?
She won me over and I was really annoyed.
Oh, right.
But they often do that though.
She does. She charmed me and that's the thing.
I did.
You got him.
And now I love you, Tom Gleeson.
So today FM breakfast next year, it's M and a Metro. It's going to be huge.
When Mimi falls apart, New Year's Eve. When Tay Tay gets in a fight with Kanye. When you click on Justin Bieber's dick pic. That's entertainment.
Drake, basketball pest, tried to start a fight with an actual NBA player. Now, a man who cries when he sings on stage, considered the gentlest person in R&B. Like, he was sitting courtside. Well, maybe you want to tell the story. Do you know what happened?
I struggle with this because I grew up in an era of rap with NWA, Ice-T.
Yeah.
Where people were either
genuinely
in
had bullet wounds.
Yes, or 50 Cent. I've been hit with a few slugs, but I walk with a limp. I'm all right, as he says.
Yeah.
Drake is a Canadian that was in Degrassi Junior High, who is somehow now Scarface, and it is very. It's like a guy playing gangster.
And
it's like a guy in his dad's gangster clothes, going, "I'm tough, I'm tough."
And Kendrick is the height of. Sorry, not Kendrick. And Drake is the height of Grant. And the guy he took on is 208 centimetres tall.
Yeah, and he's and he's known in the NBA as a guy that likes to grab throats. It would have been hysterical if they'd actually let them fight.
Now, we don't know what happened. We don't know why. I know that Toronto lost in overtime, yeah, and terrible. That's he was a bit upset because the other guy was a Cavalier. Is that who Tristan plays for?
I got to tell you, Tristan Thompson, he has had a good game.
Whoa!
LeBron said he needs guys. How ironic is this? LeBron says he needs guys he can trust. So he went to Tristan Thompson.
He's very trustworthy.
Just don't be married to him.
Don't
that's
have a kid with him. Don't be in your third trimester with him and you're fine.
That's the key.
Moving on, Kanye West, obviously the slavery was a choice rant.
Oh, my Lord.
Is really gaining momentum, and a bunch of people have come out, and especially Will.i.am has come out and said Kanye was ignorant and his remarks were harmful, and he said that, look, we're still mates, but I don't recognise the man he's become. And a lot of talk about how since he joined the Kardashian family that he's lost touch with his friends, he's become a recluse, and that this latest episode is quite out of character for him in terms of aligning himself with a man like Trump. But then other people are saying, hey, guess who has an album coming out in a month? Is this a very clever publicity stunt? And then the album...
Poopity scoop.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Is going to be a Trump blast. You know?
Oh, really? Like a vocal roast of Trump.
Yeah. So his eighth album, Love Everyone, coming out on June 2, speaking of the man that he is constantly accused of murdering his mother on the plastic surgery table, has come out and said, Kanye, you've got to let it go if you truly want to love everyone. Because he asked everyone to text I love you to a person that you've been in a feud with forever. He tweeted that. Text I love you. Just funnily enough, I got 25 I love yous.
Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks. When tension builds, take a deep breath and reach for rescue remedy. Use only as directed.
At 14 minutes past 8, help remove the stress from every high-pressure situation with rescue remedy. Use only as directed. I would direct you that maybe Alpha Bucks is a good time for it because it's not much time to try and get these answers out. Official game show host Grant Denyer, who have you got for us this morning?
Teresa from Seven Hills is here. Are you ready to play Today FM's Alpha Bucks, Teresa?
I sure am. I can't believe I'm actually on.
I know.
Oh my God, my kids are going to be just beside themselves. Wow. Oh, my God, I'm shaking.
Okay, best of luck. Let's have some fun here. You've got 30 seconds to answer 10 questions. All your answers must start with the letter B. B for ball.
B.
For each question you get right, you'll score $100 with a chance to win up to 10 grand. We must take the first answer. Can't use the same answer twice. And the adjudicator's word is final. Teresa, your letter is B. Here we go.
B.
Name a chocolate bar.
Oh, my God. I've gone blank. Pass.
Disney character.
Barney Rubble.
Something you wear.
Beanie.
An appliance brand.
Breville.
A bird.
Pass.
An Australian island.
Bribey Island.
A drink.
Bacardi.
Condiment.
Pass. Oh, my God.
A little harder than you thought.
Oh my God.
$400. Wow. Teresa, you're still some money there. $400. Well played.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
As we know, the biggest news in music this week has been Kanye West's new single, and it is just ripping up
Boopity Scoop
charts.
Scoopity Whoop. Whoopity Scoopity Poop. Poopity Scoopity Scoopity Whoop.
Oh, it's hypnotic.
The more we play it, it still does not make any sense.
No, I love it. I'm telling you, it's going to end up being a meta statement about the way America's heading. But, Ed, as you know, when hit songs come out, people like to make their own remixes.
Do they ever?
They like to do a cover.
Mm-hmm.
And Grant...
Well, first, this is... Because I heard the song and I thought, this sounds like it was made by...
Like they ripped off the Wiggles.
An infant.
Yeah.
And then so I thought, actually, why don't I play it to my infants and see how they reacted to the song.
Boopity-scoop.
Kanye is a weirdo. Kanye's crazy. Is Kanye crazy? Kanye's weird. I don't understand this song. Are you quiet? I don't understand.
Oh, my God, I love Seattle.
Yeah. So we thought, maybe that's enough. Maybe,
that's a harsh review for Kanye.
Maybe an infant could actually make a song.
Amazing.
Better than Kanye.
Now, this, how old is the first artist?
6.
Okay.
Scoopity poop, whoopity whoop, poop, poopity scoop, poopity scoop, doopity, poopity, whoopity.
Well done, Sailor. Nice wonderful work.
I mean, Sailor's was amazing, but we all know the artist.
Yeah, we do.
The artist formerly known as Scout. Mm.
And I don't want to throw too much shade on Kanye to say that, mate, his material is so basic that even a two-year-old could do it. He's a two-year-old doing it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, and the Grammy goes to, that is wonderful. The wonderful Stephen K. Amos is back in town with his new show, Bread and Circuses, at the Enmore Theatre this Friday night.
Yes.
In the concourse on Saturday. Yes. Tickets available through Sydney. Yes. Comedyfest.com.au, but that is the man agreeing with his own press release in the studio, Stephen K. Amos. Lovely to see you.
Yes. I'm so excited to be here, guys.
Oh, God.
M. Granted.
Favorite.
He saw that written on the wall, I think.
And Granted.
Yeah, he sat down next to Grant and said, "Oh, you're the guy off that thing."
Family Feud, yes. Well picked. And you worked with Ed, of course, on Thank God You're Here.
I did, which is a wonderful show. I want it to come back. Such a great idea.
Yeah.
What a wonderful concept. It was so good.
Yeah, and we've done some great work at 3 a.m. at a gay club on a podium.
Oh, my goodness.
Haven't we, Joel? We've had some nights.
I bumped into M on the street. In a mall,
in Perth
last week.
Yeah.
And we both had our shades on during that. We don't want to see anybody. Oh. And then she stopped me and I was like, oh, who's this? Who's
he
this?
He general publicked me. He's like, yes, thank you. I know I'm funny. Goodbye, commoner. I was like, mate, it's me. And he took his sunnies off. I was like, oh, hi.
And then that lovely couple started speaking to us.
And they didn't know who I was, but they knew who you were. That was nice.
No, and then I was going, and her. And then the guy went, oh, can I give you a hug and a kiss?
He
and
was good
like,
looking.
Excuse me.
Well,
you've had a long love affair with this country, and the feeling is mutual. Australian audiences love you.
Thank you so much. For some reason, what I do kind of translates really well here, and I love coming back to this country. And whenever I come here, something extraordinary happens. Last night, I'll take you back 5 years ago, when I flew over from London, all the headlines around the world, financial crisis, the world is in turmoil, people are losing their jobs. I get here, your headlines, no bananas. I died a death.
What about the front page here? We've put Pepe Le Pew's head on the French president.
Why would you do that?
He's a creep, mate. He's a creep.
He's not a creep. He's
can we have
sexy.
The grab? No, let's he's let sexy. Stephen K. Amos, mate, you've met the
don't
walls.
Don't ask Stephen about a hot Frenchman, I'll tell you right now.
Stephen K. Amos, this is the grab. This is Macron talking to Malcolm Turnbull. This is what he said
Macron.
To Macron, that's him. This is what he said to Malcolm Turnbull's wife, Lucy.
But I wanted to thank you for your welcome. Thank you and your delicious wife for your warm welcome. It's the perfect organization of this trip. Thanks to you and Lucy. Thank you very much, Mr. Prime Minister.
Now, come on, let's put this in perspective. With a French accent, that is amazing.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Imagine, oh, mate, your wife's delicious, mate. It doesn't quite work.
And
that's quite
and that's a double standard. As a woman, I'm happy to embrace.
Thank you very much. Do you know what? Last night, I was in my hotel in the centre of town, and I'm not even joking. You know those hotels that have that club level bit?
Yeah.
And sitting next to me, no word of a lie, your Deputy Prime Minister?
Julie Bishop, J.
Yes,
Bish.
Yes!
She's amazing.
If I'd known
she's a level
Macron
10.
Had said that, I would have said to her, hey, doll, what are you doing around here?
Oh, I love
can I
Jamie.
Lick you? Your pace, fine.
That's amazing. Now, we will talk about Bread and Circuses, of speaking of.
Yes,
I know that nothing is safe. You're going Hollywood, Harvey Weinstein, amazing. What's your take on that situation, doll?
On the Harvey Weinstein? Yeah. Well, do you know, I mean, what it did was, it's now this controversial. If you don't know who Harvey Weinstein is, welcome to Earth. basically, it led on to a big discussion about how disgusting he is, which moved into how disgusting Hollywood, which snowballed into how disgusting a man is, with an obvious side issue of us realizing that is why there are so many Hollywood movies with leading actresses who aren't quite up to the job.
Mm.
Joke! That's a joke!
Why?
Because you'd realize.
Okay.
You see where I'm going
with
this?
Yeah, I see. Keep going.
Any actor who could see a photograph of Harvey Weinstein and pretend to enjoy having sex with that monster must be a phenomenal actor.
Oh, yeah.
Turned it round.
The superhero movie Black Panther.
Yeah, and I mean, do you know what? I love the movie. Yeah, I love the. But let's take a moment and look at his superpowers. Yeah, mm-hmm. Can he fly? No, he can barely get through airport security.
Yeah.
Is he invisible? No, maybe to potential employees. But if you haven't seen the movie, let me give you how he gets his superpowers. So it's a spoiler alert. The Black Panther, amazing, huge Hollywood movie, gets his superpowers by consuming a special herb. That's very much Hollywood.
Stereotyping. Yeah. Stereotyping.
Why not just call him Ganja Man?
It's so true. His superpowers are rubbish.
All right.
It's like it's nothing. He puts on a necklace, takes some herbs in. The suit does all the work.
I know, right?
It's like Wonder Woman. All she had was the bloody armbands and she was pretty. Yeah.
I know. It was not in
worst superheroes ever.
I loved Wonder Woman.
Oh, but she had crap powers, mate.
Yeah, but you know, when you're a little boy growing up in Southwest London and you want long hair, anything will do.
Amazing.
It's going to be great. You're one
and
of the,
oh,
one
by the way, sorry to interrupt. Sorry to,
no,
I'm, as you know, I'm currently single, so I'm looking for... You know, a potential...
Should I tell them your type or are you taking anyone now?
No, you know the type.
I definitely know your type. I've met several of your...
Are you on the apps?
Let's just say Max, our producer, is the type.
Oh, no. Don't embarrass
me. Stephen's like, stop, don't stop. Make sure you mention I like Max live on air.
And my number is...
You're on to... Is it tonight?
I'm on tomorrow night at the Edmore and then the concourse.
Yes.
This place in... Is it Chatswood?
Yes, Chatswood.
Because I was told, apparently, people in the north of over the bridge don't come.
They don't come across and
that's
they
a
complain.
Weird thing.
But having lived over there, Stephen, it is that you are crying out when you live over there for someone to come to you in order to do a show.
Yeah,
so it's great that you're going to that venue because it's a great venue and people will turn out in droves. They always do to see you because you're so wonderful. SydneyComedyFest.com.au if you'd like some tickets. Dennis from Gaimea, he won himself some tickets to go to the Enmore show tomorrow night. There's still a couple of tickets left, so SydneyComedyFest.com.au to see the wonderful Stephen K. Amos. Come anytime. Good on you.
Thank you very much. See you tomorrow, Dennis.
Straight away, May the 4th is tomorrow, so May the 4th be with you. It's the Star Wars Day internationally. And Bonds has got a collaboration with Star Wars going. And my wife, God bless her, she went out secretly yesterday. I was sick, just sitting at home. Mm-hmm. And she said that she was going to get some, quote, sexy undies and gear.
Is that because you had gastro and you needed new undies? See what I did?
I did. And she, but what she was going to do is buy sort of Star Wars, like sort of underwear as like a sexy thing. And now I thought that is genuinely good. You know,
get your lightsaber out.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. Wave your Wookiee.
Woo!
Now you've beaten me to it. Oh. Grant Daniel with a really bad C-3PO there. So if you do a good Star Wars impersonation of anybody, a line, a character, 131060, you've got to be one of the first two people to get through because I've still got a couple of $100 petrol cash vouchers to give away.
Okay, so right now?
Right now. If you do anyone from Star Wars, any voice, line, anything, 13, 10, 60, the first two good ones that get through are going to win the $100 petrol cash because Bonds, it's going to be huge for Bonds. It's all over their website. So my wife went to the shop yesterday to get the jump, to get there quickly. And when she got there, she had a fight with a stormtrooper because she was trying to find.
I'm not even going to ask that question. Continue.
She wanted a special Darth Vader hoodie for me because she knows I love both of those things.
You love a zippy.
And she was trying to find one in the sort of pile, and it was even still in the boxes. Like, they hadn't even unpacked it yet, and people were fighting for it.
Can you pull the hood down over your face and you look like Darth Vader?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. A baby, sort of baby formula style, there were people fighting in the boxes.
Amazing.
And she looks to her left, and the stormtrooper who was meant to be promoting the event out the front was rummaging next to her.
Just looking for some stuff.
Yeah. And Tiff goes, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "Oh, I don't want to miss the best sizes." And Tiff goes, "Hang on, aren't you meant to be promoting the event out the front?" And she's like, "Yeah." And then so she goes, "But I'm looking for a size." And Tiff goes, "Nah, you're meant to be out the front. I'm a customer.
Good.
You're working as a stormtrooper."
Yeah.
And then stormtrooper goes, "Well, no, hang on, I'm allowed to be a customer too." Mm-hmm. And Tiff, I love this. She goes, "Well, not in a helmet." You're meant to be. And then the stormtrooper goes, "Oh no, I'm gonna stay here." And Tiff was getting sort of annoyed at this. And then someone came over to fix it up. And the person who came over to sort the whole thing out was dressed as Luke Skywalker. And I thought the Star Wars universe has really changed. He's meant to bring peace to the galaxy. Now he's just trying to find a large inner hoodie for someone. But we go straight away. I've filled for long enough. Andrew from Glebe, Andrew, take it away. Give us your best Star Wars.
Hey guys, how are you?
That's terrible.
Chewbacca is probably Chewbacca is what I'm going to go with.
Go.
good.
Grant?
I liked it. That was good.
You do yours.
It was gurgly.
Yours sounds like...
Mine sounds like a Jetsons plane.
Yeah, the car from the Jetsons. Andrew, $150 petrol cash. What do you think of that, Chewbacca?
Yeah, love it. Absolutely.
No,
love
do
it.
Bloody Chewbacca, you idiot. Do it again. Yeah, there. Lose Andrew's number, please.
You're not allowed to abuse them. You idiot.
That's Andrew's last chance. All right, Theo from Rosebery, otherwise known as
Yoda.
Yeah, here we go.
Yoda wants $100 gift card.
100%. You get that, Theo.
What type of car, hey, Yoda, the, you know, the Master Jedi, what type of car does Yoda drive, Theo from Rosebery?
Audi.
Yeah, an Audi.
Jeez, Yoda's doing well in the world.
He's doing okay.
Right. Strong in the force.
Strong in the force. $100 petrol cash. Well played. Get us out of here.
While you experience this podcast of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed in your ears, you could also experience premium living in Parramatta too. 8 Phillip Street is a world-class 55-story tower with 2 restaurants and a rooftop bar. Final apartments are now selling. Google 8 Phillip Street now.